You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
The Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT right now. Okay, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 1st of March, and it's a Tuesday. And welcome. We're glad you guys showed up here. Let me see what's going on in the chat room here real quick. I see there's a little talk about Donald Trump. And you know, ordinarily, I get up in the morning. One of the first things I do, usually for as long as I'm able to, at least an hour, you know, I get up and watch the news. But you know what? This last little while, especially on Fox News, which I normally watch, it's just almost 100% election stuff. You know, we still got 8 or 9 months to go. I am sick
to death of it already. I don't get it over with. Just, you know, we can do it without having to have a blow by blow play there 24 hours a day. I mean, I'm getting where I hate it. But anyway, we'll if we run out of things to talk about tonight, we might talk about that just a little bit. But all right, remember yesterday we talked about gun-free zones and guns in schools and stuff a little bit. Well, it just so happened, as I was thumbing through the multitude of stuff to talk about here, guess what? As a matter of fact, this happened yesterday, and I didn't know about it. It was later on in the day, I believe. But this happened in Ohio, Madison Junior and Senior High School. There was a shooting, 4 hurt. Oh, no, it was today. I'm sorry. Yeah, or at least the story came out today. No, it was updated today. All right, gotcha. 4 hurt, 14-year-old student was charged, and he shot 2 of them, and I don't know how the other 2 got hurt, but anyway. We were talking about yesterday about training in CCW in schools and stuff like that. And here, lo and behold, literally almost while we were talking about this, a few hours before, I guess, we had another school shooting. So, in Ohio, earlier this week, there was a, let me find it again here, dadgummit. Okay, there is a bill going around. It's not just in Ohio. This is, yeah, it is too. That would allow schools on, guns on school grounds and classroom building, colleges and stuff like that. And with the concealed weapons permits, people with concealed weapons permits could carry guns on school grounds, and in some cases actually in the buildings. What they're doing, and I've always wondered about this, I told you yesterday, in Arizona, if you want to carry on to the school grounds, technically, if you want to go by the letter of the law, you're supposed to pull over to the curb there somewhere, unload your gun, drive on to school grounds, drop the kids off, pull over to the curb somewhere, load your gun back up, and that makes you legal. You can't get on school grounds with a loaded gun. So I've talked to a couple of legislators about this. It doesn't seem as important to them as it does to me. But what it's doing is forcing a mother or a dad or a big sister or whatever, forcing that person by law to unnecessarily handle a loaded weapon in a confined environment with children present twice, to be legal. Now, to me, that is inordinately stupid. I just don't understand it. If I were to want to have the notion to do something at this school to shoot somebody or shoot up the place, would you really think that stop making this law to pull over and unload the gun is going to make any difference at all? It's just ridiculous. I just can't imagine. Hey, Dave's back with us tonight. Big Ear Dave. Glad to see you back, buddy. So there's another one here. There was this morning. There was a kid in Anthem, Arizona, charged with, booked on felony charges for bringing a gun into a high school. They say he's a good kid that needs psychiatric help, according to the woman that's caring for him. I don't know where he got the gun. Says the Maricopa County Sheriff's investigators say he showed up at his ex-girlfriend's school with a gun and told the girl he was going to take his own life. So where he got the gun, I don't know for sure. But if he got it in his home or a relative's home, that, again, demonstrates the absolute need for keeping those guns secured if it's not on your person, in your holster, on your hip, or laying within arm's length of you. If you walk away and leave it, it should be unloaded and secured. I, quite frankly, do not believe in just having a gun in the house. That's not good enough. If it's not on you, we see stories all the time about people that have to try to make it to a bedroom or somewhere where there's a gun stored. And the big-eared Dave, you're right about that, about the animals there. But anyway, I'm glad you showed up here. So, and then there's, let's see, here we go. Here's another one. Now, this is also in Ohio. And this was a news story yesterday. There are now teachers trained in 63 Ohio counties. So that makes me think about something. Let's go back over here and figure out where is Madison Township. Somebody look that up for me and put it in the chat room. Madison Township, Ohio. And let's see if maybe I'm smart enough to do that. If I can keep talking and do it at the same time, I can do that. But my computer's low. We're having some connectivity problems, I think, with the internet tonight, for those of you that weren't here for Amy's show. So we're going to try to muddle through it here as best we can. And Madison Township, Ohio. And that is near Middletown. I'm trying to see what county. And there's, I have a, this is relevant. Madison Township's in Butler County. Okay, let's go back over here to our map. Just out of curiosity, let me see where Butler County is. I wonder if I click on this if it'll blow up here a little bit where I can see it better. There is a method to my madness here. And I'm searching down through all the counties here to find Butler County. I didn't think about this when I was getting stuff ready for the show. I just now thought about it when I clicked on this here. And there it is. Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to see. Oddly enough, it is one of the counties that has trained teachers. Now, it doesn't mean that every school has trained teachers, but it's one of the 63 counties in Ohio that has at least some teachers trained to carry guns in schools. Remember we talked last night, what do I say? 18 states allow teachers and in some cases the public, parents, to carry in schools. That doesn't mean that every school district is going to let you do that, but state law allows it, even in California. So we right after Sandy Hook, it said, let's see, nonprofit program has to date provide high-level training to more than 400 teachers and administrators from 152 school districts in 63 of Ohio's 88 counties over the last 3 years. And I was hoping that Butler County would be one of the counties that they didn't have anybody trained in yet, and that would prove a point. But so it proves nothing one way or the other with being like it is. So anyway, so in across the nation here, Iowa Cat, I was actually a trainer for teachers, and I still every once in a while do that. Now, of course, all the teachers are certainly welcome to take our commercial classes, but I've done several times since I've met Amy. How many times have I done it since I met you?
Done what?
Taught teachers for free.
Probably three or four.
Three or four times. And before I met Amy, there was actually there was a big write-up in the paper about it, and I've done it in four states now, that I have had allowed teachers to come to classes for free. And it's not been immensely successful, but I have had some of them show up every single time I've done it. The first time I did it was pretty good. We probably had somewhere between 12 and 16 teachers show up the first time I did it up in New Mexico, in Farmington. And it's rewarding in a way, I guess, when you see all these teachers come in and doing it for the right reasons. Now, in New Mexico, of course, they couldn't carry guns in schools anyway because it's a fourth-degree felony. But my reason for doing this was twofold, really. One was to get our name out there. I'll just tell you, it was a selfish reason, I guess. But by doing this for free, we're getting our name out there so that more people would come. The other thing is, the more teachers that did this, the more teachers I was allowed to indoctrinate to Cope's way of thinking, as far as having guns in schools, in the home, in the cars, carrying all the time, so that they eventually, possibly, would have some effect on state law. If any of these teachers that went through my classes were part of some of the ones that spoke and gave their testimony or whatever you call it when legislature's in session for this kind of stuff, we would have some in there that actually were informed properly and Mike could go up there and make an intelligent argument for their case. So that was the reason that I did this. The long slide, you know, that's a tough one. Deep conceal and dress to your carry, I'm all for that. If something were to happen, of course we would rather, regardless of the consequences, we would rather have our gun than not have it, regardless of the legality of it. But we go back to that risk versus reward thing. Are the chances that your particular school will be shot up on that particular morning when you're there for 15 minutes? If you think that's going to happen in Chicago, then certainly it might be worth it. But in the case of New Mexico, if something were to happen, let's say you slipped on a wet floor and broke your hip, and they call the ambulance and they find the gun, you're still going to get charged with a fourth-degree felony. You have a stroke, have a heart attack, pass out, anything happens medically, or you get in a scuffle or anything happens and they find it. So that's kind of a tough one to answer. It's one that you have to answer for yourself, for sure. Radio Doc, since I got you on the line there, I got your note today, and I didn't want you to think I ignored you. I've just been busy. I got your note, and I'll leave it at that for now, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. Speaking of Chicago, before we go to Chicago, I hate going to Chicago. Actually, I've never been to Chicago, and I don't ever plan on going. But I've got quite a story about Chicago here. If you think about this, we've discussed this before, this risk versus reward thing. If I go down to Central Avenue in Albuquerque and I'm on foot, the risk of being attacked is high enough that I'm willing to take that chance. if I'm walking down the street, I take what chance? Okay, that I'm going to carry a gun like maybe I'm not supposed to, or what do you got? What's so funny over there?
This is so mean.
You sitting on a feather or what?
This is so mean.
So let's see. Darling, I'm directionally dysfunctional. Don't confuse me with words like north, east, west, and south. Do I go right or left? Boy, I know that's right. And I'll tell you, Amy is the epitome of directional dysfunction. We have a title. We're working on it, and I have to give her credit. She's trying, and I'm trying to help her. And it's a tough one. I've always just taken it for granted. I mean, for some reason, I've always had a real good sense of direction, and it just happens. So sometimes I just don't understand when people go north. What's north? North what? North Pole? Where's that? Which direction is that from here? That would be north. So, but she's working on it, and I'm proud of her. Anyway, let's go on and go, if I've got that story up here. Let me go and check here and bring that up, because I've got a very interesting story about Chicago here. I just have to go get it. I didn't have it up here yet. So, and it's coming. Like I said, we're a little bit on the slow side tonight. I mean, I'm a little on the slow side all the time, but the computers are a little on the slow side tonight.
Turn mine off. Maybe that helps.
Quite a bit on the slow side, as a matter of fact. There it comes. Okay, we have a Chicago story. And it's going to be up here just any time. I'm sure it'll be here today. All right, here we go. In Chicago, as of yesterday, there is a woman who has the distinction of being the 100th person murdered by gunfire this year. A few hours later, the 101st happened, just in Chicago. This is, let me get rid of this stupid pop-up ad here. Dadgummit, I hate these things. Everything just goes so well until these things pop up. And there's not even a little X on here to get rid of this. What do I do? Okay, help me out. There it went. Okay, got it. The Chicago Sun-Times said just before 10 p.m. on Friday, Sherry Graham was sitting in a taxi cab. Shots were fired nearby, hit the woman in the back of the head. Police don't think she was targeted. It's just one of those places where there's bullets flying around all over the place. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. The 101st homicide occurred the next day. 26-year-old man shot and killed as he sat in his car. Shot by someone who walked up to the car and opened fire. He was struck in the head and died right afterwards. A woman in the car was also shot, but she's going to recover. Only two people were killed over the weekend. There were an additional 26 people shot and wounded in one weekend. This in contrast, 2015, no one was killed and only five were wounded. In 2014, six were killed and five were wounded. The last time Chicago had 100 homicides during the first 2 months of the year. 2 months of the year, in 60 days, they've had 100 homicides by gunfire. This ain't counting how many of them beat to death with a wet noodle or whatever, but this was 100 of them been shot. In the year 1997, that year ended with 761 homicides. Two a day, for all practical purposes. It has now been one full year since the last time Chicago went even a single day without having someone shot and killed or killed in some other manner. The last day Chicago saw without a homicide was January 28th, 2015. Since that day, there's been 556 people killed and 2,769 wounded. How is that gun control working out for you, huh? 2,800 people wounded, almost 600 shot and killed in the last year. By the first quarter in 2015, the murder rate had also climbed over that of the year before. In April of last year, the Sun-Times reported that killings had risen 30% over 2014. How is that gun control working out for you? 2015 has been a deadly year thus far. Chicagoans are being shot at a rate of 3 times higher than this time last year. I think that's supposed to say 2016 has been a deadly year this far. Year to date, the city has suffered 102 homicides, with 86 of those being death by firearm. There are also 298 wounded, for a total of 584. Okay, yeah, that is for 2015. I'm sorry. So, there you go. Let's all gang up and go to Chicago. That's unbelievable. Yakima got a 308 bolt gun. Good deal. I'll be anxious to see it when I get up there. Maybe I'll bring one of mine and we'll play a little bit while I'm up there. For those of you that have been wondering about the next Arms Expo up in Washington, that is going to be on June, I think, 17th, 18th, and 19th up in Yakima, Washington. The following weekend, we'll be doing a personal defense handgun 3 class on the 24th, 25th, and 26th. And I'll have that up on the website probably tonight. I may stay up later tonight and get that done. And I'll probably put a code on there where you get a pretty good discount for early registration. When that code runs out, when the time runs out for that, it's going to be out. So if you want to get in on the class and save a little money, you'll get rewarded for early registration. The long slide, I've already sold that other one, buddy. I'm sorry about that. I've still got 2 of them left, but I sold that one here about a month ago or so. Sorry about that. And while we're looking at dates here, April 1st and 2nd, we're going backwards now. April 1st and 2nd will be the designated rifleman class down in Buckeye, Arizona. And the 18th and 19th of March will be a long-range handgun class. The date, the place for that one has not been determined yet. There's a toss-up between 2 places. March 12th and 13th is going to be personal defense handgun 2. Also down in Buckeye, Arizona. Go to our website, go to southwestshootingauthority.com, and go to the online store, and there's a deal there you can click on to sign up for that class. So, all right, let's take a little break, and we'll be back here in a couple of minutes if we can just get everything to work here. I'm glad the sound is still working fairly well. Nothing else is. And we're waiting. And it says not responding. So, there we go. Let's see how this works.
I played a wedding for the money. I wished I could have told the bride and groom just what I think of marriage and what's in store after their honeymoon. And I was grumbling to the dancers about how men and women ought to live apart and how a promise never made cannot be broken and can never break a heart. Then suddenly from out of nowhere a little girl came dancing across the floor. And all her crinolines were billowing beneath the skirt of calico that she wore. And oh, what a joy fell on the honored guests as each one of them was drawn into her dream. And they laughed and stamped, clapped their hands and hollered at her dance little Jean. And they said, dance little Jean, this day is for you. Two people you love stood up to say I do. Dance little Jean, a prayer that you had was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad. Well, my cynical heart just melted, 'cause I figured what this get-together meant. How it ended years of tears and sad confusion that the little girl had spent. And they told the band to pack it up by the time the couple cut the cake. We played as long as they stayed for love and laughs and little Jeannie's sake. And we played dance little Jean, this day is for you. Two people you love stood up to say I do. Dance little Jean, a prayer that you had was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad. It was answered today, your mama's marrying your dad.
Not funny, haha, funny, queer.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back, and someone asks in the chat room there. Let me go back over here and check and see. Someone asked if what classes we were doing in Washington. It's the one that we know for certain that we're doing is the Personal Defense Handgun 3. There's been some talk about doing a counter-strike class while I'm up there. Talked about that last night a little bit. And, we can do, as long as we've got some notice and somebody signs up, I can do whatever anybody wants to do. That's the only two that we've really discussed up till now. So we'll see. Let's see here. You know, what the heck is Edge of the Woods putting in there? Long slide, we've got a story about the 300 Win Mag, and probably don't have time to do it tonight. We might hit that tomorrow night, though. We're going to go through, got a pretty good story on 300 Win Mag we'll talk about. Okay, now I got something for you. This ought to really make your night. Remember we talked about full-on 100% retard while going to TSA? That's TSA does not have the exclusive right to stupidness, ignorance, and all that. Actually, the San Antonio Police Department, right up there with them. I mean, they're neck and neck. And I think what that is they're pretty much dead or inanimate from the neck up, neck and neck. The San Antonio Bomb Squad was called to a neighborhood yesterday or Saturday after dozens of rounds of ammunition were found underneath a home. Dozens of rounds. Ammunition, the captain of the San Antonio Fire Department said a family found a sealed box with about 75 rounds of decades-old ammunition underneath the house. Okay, now for you history buffs, check this out. He said, this is the fire chief here, San Antonio Fire Department, said that the rounds were 40 caliber and about 40 years old based on the date written on the box. Listen to this. We're talking about ammunition under a house. Half a dozen homes nearby were evacuated for about 3 hours. Are you freaking kidding me right now? They evacuated half a dozen houses for 3 hours because they found 75 rounds of ammunition. What in the world would they do if they went in any of the average shooting bench listeners' homes? They'd evacuate the whole town. Now let's go back to our history lesson. 40 rounds, said the rounds were 40 caliber and about 40 years old, based on the date written on the box. Okay, first we got to see there's a sealed box with 75 rounds. I don't know how it was sealed. It obviously wasn't a factory box because there are no factories. Nobody makes boxes of 75. It says 40 caliber. I'm assuming that they mean 40 Smith & Wesson. 40 years old? A date written on the box, so the box obviously didn't go to the ammo or it wouldn't have had 75 rounds in it. 40 caliber, there were some other 40 calibers. They're quite old. Go back quite a few years, way more than 40. But these particular 40 caliber ammunition, based on a date on the box, were 40 years old. This captain with the fire department says this is definitely a big danger. Definitely a big danger. This is definitely a big danger because they've been under there for so long. They've rusted. They've been exposed to the weather. Elements outside, so we definitely want to get them disposed of as quickly as possible. They were under the house. Rusted. It's doubtful unless it was modern steel-cased ammunition in a box that happened to have a date on it 40 years ago. Brass is not real big about rusting. Or zinc or copper or lead or any of that kind of stuff. Exposed to the elements outside, even though they were under a house, but we've got to get them disposed of as quickly as possible. Where do you start? They found 40 caliber ammunition 20 years before it was invented. Okay. Well, alrighty then. Yeah. Tampa Go Scout says I have more than that. Hell, I carry 45 rounds on me every day. I'm wearing that right this minute, right as we sprecken at this very moment. I've got 45 rounds on me. Don't let that not be confused with 45 rounds, but I have a quantity of 45 rounds on my person right now. Longslide says he's got 60. So, yeah, Longslide, it could have been a 38-40. I highly doubt it, just because of the you know, when that caliber came out, and I just can't imagine that 40 years ago that somebody left 75 rounds of 38-40s on them. And there was one other 40 caliber, two other 40 calibers. But, yeah, it could have been a 44-40. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Anyway, it's evacuated. I don't care what the hell. I don't care if they found a couple of 105 rounds under the house. No reason to evacuate. You know, you simply just, you know, use reasonable caution and put them in the back of the truck and haul them away somewhere. Blow them up or do whatever you want to do with them. But evacuate six houses because they found some ammunition. I don't care where the ammunition come from or what caliber. Well, I don't care. You don't have to evacuate the whole damn neighborhood because of a few rounds of ammunition. Yeah, there's semi-common, yeah, 41 Magnum, and it's if depending on what the fire chief knew or what it read on the box, even that's not a 40 caliber, but yeah, that's a possibility too. Oh well, I give up. How crazy is that? There's we also talked a little bit. Some of you weren't here with us last night. I'm going to go over this just very briefly because I think it's a good idea. But there's a new app out on your phone. I know some of you are going to think this is boring because we talked about it last night. But there's a new app out. I think it's cell11.com or something like that. And once you download that on your phone, this allows you with just the push of a button to alert one or multiple people as to where you are complete with GPS coordinates. I can't see any danger in this. It doesn't transmit anything for a beacon to pick up or anything like that. It simply makes a phone call for you. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything that your phone doesn't already do. It just does it with one touch of a button. So obviously, if you have your location turned off, it's not going to work properly. But I think that I just can't imagine this being a bad thing. There's another guy here in town, and Amy and me. And the only thing that has to be, you can't. It doesn't work unless you're calling somebody else that already has the program. Everybody involved has to have this program on their phone. It doesn't just call their phone. So me and Amy and this other guy I know locally are going to try it and see how it works. But my reason for thinking about this was if something were to happen, you were picked up, harassed by the cops, maybe run off in a snowdrift somewhere. As long as you have cell signal, you should be able to alert multiple people simultaneously as to exactly where you are. So if you want to know a lot more details about that, we discussed it at quite length last night. I will have that archive or that cotton picking, what you call it, podcast up tonight. So you can listen to that. So we've got another deal here, and I think we've got enough time to get this done. And I want you to
let people know about and to say, where do we go from here?
Right. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show and for your work in getting the truth out to your listeners. That's a key role in fighting this battle. So I really appreciate your hard work and all the other individuals who are on your team. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Glad to do it.
And first of all, I would like to just communicate who my dad was. He was a true cowboy. Much of his growing up years was spent riding horses and hunting, and his whole life he was active in church. He served a 2-year mission, and also held a lot of other ecclesiastical positions. He loved family, hence the reason we have 11 children in our family. And most importantly, he was a God-fearing man, and his God was what motivated a lot of his decisions and actions and character development. And for those of your listeners who may be new to the Lavoie Seneca murder story, I want them to understand that this began years ago as he practiced daily diligence in the things that developed his mind, his body, and his spirit. And such practices enabled him to be the powerful voice that America now knows him to be. The more that he studied history and law, and the scriptures even, he began to realize how tyranny was intimately involved in the lives of the American people, including himself, and because he was a man of principle, this weighed on his soul, and he could not in good conscience just stand idly by. And so he decided to cancel all contracts with the Bureau of Land Management in regard to his management of his ranch, because he recognized how the Bureau of Land Management was a department of government that was federally overreaching into people's lives. They were unelected bureaucrats who, I'm sure, you know, I'm preaching to the choir to you, but I don't know who your listeners are, but who, you know,
it's important that everybody understands and has that brought up to them again. I think it's good for you to go over that.
Okay, well, the BLM regulates and dictates how people manage their own property rights, and that is unconstitutional, and my dad understood that, and that's why he canceled, kindly, respectfully, sent them a letter, you know, followed the due process, and kindly said, I no longer need your assistance in managing my ranch. I will now take full responsibility in the management of my ranch. And thank you so much for your assistance, but I will now do it myself. You know, he did it very kindly and respectfully. And you can follow that on YouTube. He documented the whole thing on YouTube so that America could watch his stand and hopefully gain courage to do so in their own sphere, in their own realm. And he got courage by watching the Bundy family doing the same thing. Anyhow, so that was the beginning of his journey, and I encourage all your listeners to follow that.
How long ago was that?
That was, you know, I wish I had the date right in front of me. It was probably a year ago.
Okay.
He canceled those contracts with them, and of course they harassed him and sent him letters, if you don't do this, you will be fined, and then they just kept sending him letters, you are now fined this, and you are now fined, and he has that all documented on his YouTube channel, so I encourage everybody to go watch that. But our family wants the world to know who he was, what he was doing, and why he was doing it, because there's a huge misunderstanding on property rights, and how the grass on that ranch is a property right. He owned it. The BLM had no right or jurisdiction or authority to tell him when his cows could and could not be eating the grass that he purchased, not from the BLM, but from the previous owner. So that was a hard line in the sand that he drew. And as far as what was going on in Oregon, he would follow closely the oppression of other ranchers, because that's where he felt he can effectively help others in defending their property rights, because that's exactly what he was doing. And so he was following the Hammond story, and he was just disgusted and overwhelmed at the injustice inflicted upon the Hammond family in Burns, Oregon. And so he decided to attend the peaceful protest on January 2nd in support of the Hammond family, who had been sentenced double jeopardy on top of $400,000 in fines, a clear violation of the Eighth Amendment, not to mention how the Hamley family was forced to give right of first refusal of their ranch to the Bureau of Land Management. So In other words, in layman terms, they regulated them, they fined them large amounts of money to where it was almost impossible to pay, to force them into bankruptcy, to lose their ranch, and not only could they sell it to the people that they wanted to, they were forced to first offer it to the BLM. So it's
right. That's some good
really
background. We're going to a break. I apologize. I don't mean to cut you off. But I think some of the things that we need to look at, again, is people think, you know, that they're, you have the liberals calling these, the Bundys and your dad and others, welfare ranchers. But what they don't understand is what you brought out is that it was their land. It was the things that they purchased that were a part of it. And this unconstitutional agency comes along and tries to tell them how to manage it. And so I just
exactly.
So we'll talk more about that when we get back from the break with Tara Tenney, the daughter of assassinated protester Lavoie Finicum. I am Ben McClintock with my co-host
Enoch Moore
from DefendingUtah.org. This is the Naked Truth segment of the Liberty Lineup Radio Show, where you think right and wrong, not right and left. Be right back after the break.
Okay, there's quite a bit more of that, and I may play some more of it tomorrow. I tell you what, Lavoie's daughters are just like him. They are well-educated in the Constitution, well-educated, very knowledgeable. They don't parrot what they heard him say. He made them study these things and got them to understand, not just to be able to say what he said, but to understand so that they could say it in their own words. And all of his daughters are that way, even right down to the youngest. The youngest one is kind of quiet compared to the other ones, but if you get her cornered and get her to talking, she's just like the rest of them. This whole family fully and completely and intimately knows and is familiar with the Constitution, all the principles and rights that it protects. And I think I will play some more of that tomorrow. And a lot of things going on with the Finicums. I can't go through them all right now, but you can meet a couple. Matter of fact, this one that was talking just now is going to be in Salt Lake City on March 5th. There are rallies going on all over the United States, hundreds of them, in support of Finicums and the Hammonds and the Bundys. And this is this coming Saturday everywhere. I promise you there's one not too far from you. So if you're in Utah and you want to meet these unbelievably knowledgeable and strong girls, then go to the state capitol this coming Saturday. There's going to be one in the state capitol here in Arizona. Down in Phoenix, there's going to be one in Tucson. A lot of stuff going on. All right, well, I'm going to ease on out of here, and I'm going to get the podcast and stuff up tonight, get my website updated a little bit. So I will see you all tomorrow. Amy will not be with us tomorrow, but I'll have to do. So we'll see you then. Thanks for joining me. And thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.